Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, our very special guest is David Purcell. David and I met at the Full Disclosure Conference at the Serrata Resort in St. Petersburg, Florida, where Brian Seng had his by now legendary Full Disclosure Now conference. And when David sat at the panel, the first panel on the first full day, I looked at him sitting in the audience and I said to myself, uh-oh, that guy looks really familiar. And he wasn't the only one, but he looked the most familiar to me. So we had on occasion the chance to sit and chat and get to know one another. And it was really a process of getting reacquainted because we had cross paths on world and off world. So without any further ado, David Purcell, welcome to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Thank you very much for having me. It's good to see you again.
Well, the pleasure is all mine, David. Tell me about your voyage of discovery. Tell me about your childhood, any kind of phenomena that happened to you, and what led you down the road to where you became this operator in these off-world programs.
Okay, so from my earliest memory I have is I was in. Well, the first memory I got back, the memory I had with me always for my life was I was in kindergarten and I remember it was nap time. And all of a sudden I went to sleep. And the next thing I knew, I remember I'm in a jungle. I'm with a bunch of other men. I would keep in mind, I'm a little kid at this time, but I was in a jungle. And I remember getting smacked in the face with a very large, like plant or something, and I remember cursing at it. And I remember as soon as I got smacked in the face with a plant or like that, I woke up from nap time and my eyes were bleeding, my nose was bleeding, my mouth was bleeding, my ears were bleeding. I remember looking around, the teacher comes running up because there's a bloody child just woken up, so that's kind of a big deal. And I remember saying to her, "Where is my crew? Why am I small?" And she's like, "What are you talking about, David?" I go, "I was in the jungle with my crew. Where are they?" And she's like, "No, David, you were having a dream. You were playing G.I. Joes." And I go, "Don't lie to me." And I just happen to glance over and see that the other kids are all having nightmares. And I instantly realize those were my crew. And as soon as I look over, the teacher comes over, grabs the back of my head, and then the next thing I know, I wake up on the school bus. That's the
Jeez.
first memory I've had. I had that memory with me all my life. Now, once I did some, recoveries of memories and realized what I was part of the space program and did other stuff, I found out the earliest memory I had was of me being a toddler in a crib. I remember my little yellow onesie, and I remember being picked up by a reptilian soldier, carried away from my parents. My parents were put in some type of trance and didn't know anything. And I remember being stripped naked, put into like a concrete area, it's not like a den or anything, but it's like a definitely underground concrete like area or something like that. And there were lots of other naked children around there. And I remember sitting in a chair was a crazed Air Force colonel. I don't remember his name, but I remember he had this God complex. And I remember trying to crawl away a couple times, but I remember being picked up by a mantis and put back in there. So that's the first memory I have of that.
Were you
My
living at
first,
that time, if just to interject?
at that time, I was on, I want to say Hicksville, Long Island, of New York.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah. So that was the first, I did that for that. My first conscious. Do you want me to go? Because my story goes back to World War One. Do you want me to start
Yes,
there, or do you want?
yes, definitely. I want to hear that.
Okay. So, all my life, I had had this uncontrollable anger, uncontrollable self-hatred. No matter what I did, no matter what I tried, it was always there. I mean, I couldn't walk past a mirror without, going into a rage and wanting to punch the guy and just literally rip out the spine and beat him with it. That's how much hatred I had. No matter how well I treated people, whatever, I just couldn't get go over it. I never understood what the reason for this hatred was. I understand now it's more the stuff that I had to do in the program. So what happened was, in World War One, I remember fighting. I was fighting for the Germans in World War One. I fought, but I had also awakened my senses during the battle, and I had come out of the war completely messed up. I was psychotic just because of World War One, everything. So I had all that going on. The next, and like I said, I had senses come along. I think I was hearing people's thoughts. It was be going on for a while. Then the next memory I have after fighting in World War One is being taken in night by two guys with black trench coats and machine guns with a big black German car to a castle. They're holding me up by each arm, and as I go inside, there's a woman with short hair, and I can tell right away her eyes. This is something to do with the occult. Like I know that instantly. And she grabs my face, looks at me, and goes, "Yes, this one will do." And then I look over, and I see at the time my mother, my brother, and some other members of the place town where I live. They're the higher ups. One of them, I think, was in publishing or something like that. I don't have that much. And I remember screaming to her, "Why are you doing this?" And she said to me, "You're finally going to be useful, you idiot." So after that, the next memory I have is going, I want to say this is probably somewhere in the 50s, I want to say at this point, or no, because I remember going up in a saucer in early 1950s to a space station and spending the rest of my life there. What I did was when they took me up to the space station, I did apparently remote viewing for them, and I remote viewed a lot for them. I remote viewed a couple hundred years easily for them. I told them my next life was, and the funny part was, even though that I was a prisoner and being tortured and all that other stuff, I ended up having a relationship with a woman. She was in charge of the research, but she became later became in charge of the base that she was. I remember because as I got this memory, it turned from going to a memory to me actually physically watching this stuff happen live. Like it was me tuning into that, but apparently, time happens all at the same time. So I was literally talking to this guy who was me from World War I in World War II, and he's speaking to me in German, and I don't understand what he's saying. And I get the image that he wants me to play the piano. So I start playing the piano, and then he grabs the girl and they start slow dancing. And so that was actually a thing. And then from that, I saw that the guy, like they actually fell in love and that they were sad because I wasn't going to see the 60s. They were looking forward to something that was going to happen in the 60s. But after that happened, then I told her about my next life after this one, and I remember her laughing because I was a black guy in Philadelphia, and she kept calling me the derogatory word for a black guy in German, and she kept laughing at it. So after that, then I told them about my next life, and then that's the life where they picked me up when they first took me. So I was literally told them from I was first generation to third generation in the 80s, 40s, 50s. Yeah, I think maybe the fifth generation. I'm not sure about the timeline of that, but yeah. So what happened was, they knew when I was going to be born. They had me ready to go. I don't know whether they had me in vitro or when I was in the stomach prepared. I suspect as much because there were a couple of problems from what my mother told me, and she said they weren't normal, but everything worked out. And then when I was actually born in 1983, I was born enraged. I mean, like literally to the point where my mother and the other doctors all said that's not the screams of a baby. And it was just pure rage, and I had that for me all my life. So, because I had the rage and everything else like that, I always had problems, interacting with people. I would just most of my life, just go into blind rages and start attacking people. I wouldn't feel pain. I wouldn't remember anything. So they bounced me around to school after school after school, which is what they wanted because those are the school places where they can figure out what the kid actually can do, then take them afterwards. Like I said, because I remember the kindergarten one. I now know that that school was a place where they take and look for kids. I've actually inadvertently astral traveled there recently a couple times, and it's still going on. Because I was surprised, because didn't know, when I started getting my memories back, I've only had some of my memories back for about 2 years. That's all I've got. When I started getting some of my memories back, I started astral traveling to some certain places and just looking around and not knowing what was going on. It was like, oh, I haven't been here in years. But the weird thing was, when I was in astral traveling form, generally people don't see you in your astral traveling form. You need to have some type of ability or something to see something like that. I was seen by a couple of people, which was started me off. So I'm at this school just looking around, trying to remember, piece together what's going on. And all of a sudden, I get attacked by a half vampire. I know she wasn't a full-bred, because I met the full-bred one later. But the thing was, she be truly believed that she was protecting these kids. She was brainwashed into being like the mother protector of these kids. And we fought for a while. I ended up stabbing her with, I think I grabbed a pole or something and just stabbed her. And I got kind of, thing with that. And then I saw the other one come in, the head one. And I realized instantaneously that I was too tired. I had to leave. But yeah, the vampire was still there. I mean, I've had other experiences with vampires before and after and since, but it was still new to me, because like, I didn't know vampires existed prior to this. Like, I don't usually watch a lot of the ET programming or anything like that, because when I started in 2015 to get into the ETs, I mean, I've always been into weird stuff and stuff like that, oddities. I mean, when I was 14, all my senses awoke and I became an empath and got overwhelmed. I would have dreams of people I would meet, things that would happen in the future. I would know about earthquakes that would happen like all over the world. And I would like meet someone and know everything about them. It was just so overloaded that I had to shut it down for a while. And it took me a couple of years of denial and going through general teenage crap, but it shut down to a point where I can at least ex have normal life, or something relatively normal about it. So after that, I tried, it kind of took a while to recover, because in high school, everything was really rough for me. And then about 2015, I got this idea. I was like, you know what? I want to have my own experiences. I want to see what's out there for the ETs. I had this need to go find out there. So I went online and I start looking around. It's 2015, and I quickly realized that a lot of the stuff is contradictory. Some of it's not even true. Some of it's just rabbit holes after rabbit holes. And I'm like, you know what? Let me have my own experiences. Let me make my own decisions, so I don't have to have anyone else's experiences. I want my own. And I did some research for a while, and ended up finding the CE5 protocols, and I did those for a few weeks. I felt nice, calm, centered. Nothing really happened. I thought, okay, it was a nice thought exercise. Nothing happening. So I'm moving on. A few weeks go by, and I'm about done. And all of a sudden, one day, I'm in my old house on Long Island, and I'm in the basement. And all of a sudden, I'm online. My computer screen just goes black. I'm like, what's going on? Then I get this feeling, and I look over my shoulder, and there's a 7-foot-tall mantis standing right next to me. And we talked for a little bit. He was just trying to, it was hard for me to be present around the mantises, because they're very telepathic. They can modulate themselves, so there's not too painful, but with the state I was in compared to what the state he was in, it's just that. Plus, I also had this like instant kind of repellent to him. I later found out that he was my grandfather, and we don't usually get along. It's just kind of those things of like, we're not going to get along. We like each other and respect each other, but we're just very different people and operate on different frequencies, and we get that. He had, what he did afterwards was, there was a second female mantis and a smaller a third female mantis like coming in afterwards. So what he did was, he overlaid my room with a hologram of where he was. So like, my table or my keyboard, I touched it, and like I could see like the light going up and down just a little bit, like a overlay. And he said, we'll be in touch. And over the next few weeks, they started coming in, talking to me more and more. Again, the conversations were pretty short, because of just how much, like, I couldn't have more than a 15 second conversation with them, just because of how telepathic they were. So they would help me with my art. They would help me with some emotional issues I was having. I wasn't always a good student. We had to I'm like I said, I was in a really bad place mentally, and they're trying to help me. So when you have someone in a really bad mental place and someone who's really trying to help you, they're not always going to sync up. So over time, we developed a relationship, and for about a year or so, they would come in. They have this device. It's a console the Mantises have. It's an amplification for telepathy. On the console is a symbol for a triangle, a wavy X, and some other symbols. If they press the triangle, I have 15 minutes to do an art piece. Now that art piece will literally be beamed into the center of me and expand out, and I literally have to physically get it out. And it can cause pain if I don't do it. I mean, that's just some of the things. Some of the artwork I've made has been truly amazing. I've made music with them. They taught me how to play piano. They really do love music. Like good music, that's their bread and butter. That makes your soul happy. And we're talking and going on and on. I'm drawing some drawings and stuff. Now, each time they're talking to me, they're telling me a little bit more. I didn't keep notes back then, so I had to remember a lot of it. And they're like, "You really should keep notes." And I'm like, "Yeah, whatever." And because I really didn't, like I said, I was in a really bad place, and I really wasn't. I really t t It wasn't until like just recently that I realized what an opportunity this was. Because like I said, I was in such a bad place that I couldn't see that. So there, we're going. We're talking. We're doing for about a year or so. And all of a sudden, I end up working with one of the female mantises. She tells me her name is Anne. Now, Anne is not her real name. She told me that because apparently her name is very important, or that was easier for me to communicate with. I ended up working more closely on a regular basis with another mantis, a male mantis named Clevin. Now, Clevin was the one I spent most of the time with. Now, over the time they were doing the art. One time, I could feel the device being activated inside me, and it expands out. But this time, it didn't stop. It was going so bad that I was literally on the ground screaming. I thought I was going to die. I thought I was going to explode. I'm calling, begging for them to stop. I'm literally on the ground screaming. And finally, the male mantis who I first met comes up to me, and I'm going, "What the hell was that?" And he goes, "It was an oversight." I go, "That was no damn oversight." He goes, and I completely lost it. I said, "Get the hell out of here. We're done. Whatever deal we have, it's over. That's not how we're going to work it." I now understand that they were trying to see how much I could actually handle. I still don't like how they did that way. I mean, that was a lot. So I didn't talk to him for a year. A year goes by, and I'm in a better place, dealt with some of my issues, or a little bit better. And I'm like, "You know what? Maybe it was an oversight. Maybe there's a different species. Maybe they don't understand certain things. I can be a little harder to deal with. This is a big opportunity. I shouldn't waste it." So I go into a meditative state, and I remember what Anne felt like. So as soon I lock onto what Anne felt like, and I astral travel to right where she is. Anne is in the middle of a meeting with a bunch of other ETs. There's her. Two iguana-headed reptilians, one ethereal being, a couple science things, some beings with long faces, some other ones. It was like a whole table thing of people there. So at the time, I shaved my head bald. I literally just popped through the table and I said, "Oh, there you are." And then Anne goes, "Not now, not now, not now." The two reptilians are freaking out because they think I'm a human spy. So they're freaking out. And I go, "Oops, sorry." And I leave. I go back to my house, and now over the next 3 days, I can see and feel and hear people going all through my house. I can tell right away that they're military. I can tell right away that they're security. They are looking for anything. Like they're checking everything. They're going through the closets. They're checking the computers. They're doing everything. So on the third day, I'm downstairs in the basement just watching TV. And I'm sitting in my chair, and all of a sudden, I feel something looking down on me. I look up, and there is a 7-foot-tall dog man in a military uniform looking down at me, going, "This is what I was called for." I look back up to him and said, "I'm sorry, I won't do it again." And he just like growls or grunts and just walks away. Then the mantises came back, and we started working with them more and more. Now, again, sometimes they were trying to help me, and sometimes I wouldn't want to be around them. Just because it was just it could be a lot. Like one time, I astral travel to what they call the center of the universe, or they call it the navel of the universe. What it was a giant room full of printing presses, and they had pink and orange sheets of consciousness the size of football fields. And the mantis was explaining how everything works and everything like that. And I said to him, I said, "So why is it so big?" And he goes, "Because it has to be to get through all the dimensions." And when I said that, the image came to my mind of the original Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, when they made that giant chocolate bar and they had to transport it to the TV and they made it smaller. And he smiled. I mean, mantises can't really smile because their jaws are. They're both it was a telepathic smile, but he goes, "Yes, sort of like that." And then he asked me, he goes, "Would you like to try it?" And I go, no, I don't want to screw it up." And he goes, "Are you sure?" I go, "Yeah, no, you know what you're doing. I don't want to screw this up." And he goes, "Okay." And he just showed me how it's loaded in and how it goes through the dimensions. There have been like a couple other things I've done with the mantis, but mostly they were here for teaching me and healing stuff. One of the times I was speaking to them, after a while, after I got able to build up a more resistance to them, I started talking to them more and more. And I asked them, I says, "So, where did you guys come from?" And, oh, so maybe, I probably should describe a mantis. So the basic mantis is about 7 foot tall. They're probably green, brownish, something like that. I recently found out that they're black ones, and those ones are generally military. Then they can be a little bit dangerous. The mantises are generally very peaceful, very telepathic, very intellectual. They can be funny. Sometimes they think their jokes are funnier than they are, but they're not. It's just part of sense of humor. They're love music, they love arts, and their goal, they said for the goal was to try and help people evolve spiritually. That's what they said they did. They said they were one of the first species on this planet to evolve. And I was like, "So basically, you just evolved to become these near perfect beings and help other people?" And they said, "Yes." And I says, "That's not really relatable. That's like, 'cause like I said, I was still in a bad place, and no one wants to see this perfect being, just go, 'Oh, I just ascended like that.' Like, no one wants that." And so we were talking for a while, and she's telling me the mantises will have three fingers, three fingers, and they do have feet, and but they're. Organs and stuff are not like the rest of us. They do have emotions. They can, like I said, they have their emotions. They're better in control of them than we are. They can live very long lives. I've asked them specifically about their lifelong cycles, and they won't tell me about their birth or death cycles. But from what other people have told me, they can probably do 1,000 to a couple thousand years, depending on who you're talking to. It's a big deal when they get to that. But one time I was having like my sleep to me is very important. That's my only like that's my sacred space. So they would come in usually trying to help me with my sleep. I'm like, "You're making things worse. Just let me sleep." So one time they had this doctor, and he was running these little things on me, and I told him, "Knock it off." And he goes, "I'm almost done." And I just reached out and I grabbed him by his throat.
A
And
human
I'm
doctor or a mantis doctor?
mantis doctor.
Okay.
And I remember being in this rage and just grabbing him by the throat, and remember thinking, "This is not a warrior. What is this? This is a pathetic little thing." And he's literally screaming, "Turn it off, turn it off, turn it off, turn it off." Even though that the mantises are very telepathic, they still use technology to amplify their si signals. So after that, the mantises did not teleport within 5 feet of me. They would always stay 5 feet away from me. And they've learned, over time, let him sleep. If he says let him sleep, if I say enough's enough, it's over. There have, overall, the mantises, and when I asked the mantises, I says, "Well, what do you guys want from me?" And they said, "We want you to write a Gita." And I was like, "Cool, what's a Gita?" And I had to go, and I had to go look it up. They're referring to the Bhagavad Gita. Pronounce this damn thing. Bhagavad Gita,
Of
the
the data,
Indian,
yeah.
that one. They were like, "We want you to write one of those." And I was like, "Oh, okay," which coincides to what I wanted to do with my life anyway. One of the things I wanted to do was I wanted to make a space rock opera. And so they were like, "Yes." And I was like, "Cool. Can you just give me the music right now, and I'll get it out done right now?" And they go, no, it doesn't work that way. You have to go through the process, wait for the right time, acquire the right people, and do it stuff like that. I was like, so this is going to be a long journey? And they go, oh, yeah. And so, do you have any questions so far,
Oh,
or?
no, it's been fascinating. Quick point about so were you in World War One and World War Two, or most of that combat in that life was World War One?
I remember in combat, being in combat in World War II, World War I. I remember being more of in the espionage factor of the World War II.
Okay.
So
Yeah, because
the memory I have is of me in combat in World War I, but I do have, no, I was more in the espionage side of it. I had a couple of people do some remote viewings and some memories, and they all say, yeah, you were on that side, and you were in intelligence, and you were very good at what you did. They also said, and I also have memories of this, that you were there when the breakaway civilization left. Like you, because I remember being in World War II. I remember when the Draco showed up. We weren't, I'm saying we, but the Germans weren't trying to contact them at the time. The Germans were working under the mistaken identity that the reptilians were the Draco. The reptilians were impersonating the Draco. When the Draco found out about that, they were not happy about it because they didn't want these little worm things pretending to be them. So when they came down, the Dracos, and saw what the Germans were doing, they were like, we think we can work with this. And they, work with us. I remember being showed how, I remember being handed a box by two Dracos and told how to extract a soul out of the body. They also showed us how to put it into another, put they'd have this box, you take the soul out. They also showed us how to do fracturing people souls. They said, I remember them telling us it'll work better the younger. You can't do it past a certain age. Now, us being Germans and full of ourselves, thought we're Germans, we can do it now. And it was a lot of Germans that died before we realized, okay, we'll try doing it younger. And so that's what I remember seeing the first time a soul fractured and stuff like that. Now, I remember from my time in the SSP, and this was a lot. Apparently, I might still be up there. There are a lot of versions of me that have been cloned and put in other positions. I am not just with one SSP. There's not just one SSP up there. There was like the breakaway civilization that first happened, but that over time that fractured, new factions came over, new people got up there, took over stuff. So from what I remember, from what I understand, there's Nachtwaffen, which is the Dark Fleet. There's Kruger, which is a kind of a mercenary group or security. There's Solar Warden. There's a Science Corps, and I think there's a couple other ones. But now some of these agencies will claim that they're the true one, so there'll be like a two versions of one of them, and they're like, "No, we're the true Kruger," or "We're the true Kruger," and they'll be doing the hard stuff and like doing the massacres and stuff. And you'll have other people saying, "Well, Kruger just massacred," and Kruger's like, "No, we're a peaceful organization. We're helping people." So it's a got kind of, that's a lot of thing. I mean, the more I've learned about ETs and interdimensionals and it's just how much I'm surprised how messed up things actually are.
Yes.
Like, there's so much corruption, so much bad stuff, and deceit and lies. It's just like when I realized that, like, some of these ETs, even though they're far technologically superior to ours, are just as screwed up as us. It's really like as below as above. It's like that. I mean, but it was just. Some of these ETs, like, you have this amazing abilities and you can't figure out the basic stuff like, empathy or, how to care for someone or not conquer a thing. It's just, they see, that's the thing I want to be really clear about. Even though if an ET can be peaceful or whatever, they're going to have their own agendas. That's, I want to be very, very clear on this one. Even though if they might try and help us, and if their agenda is for us to be more peaceful and better people, fine. But they're still going to have their own agendas. That everyone needs to understand that. And that's really why I always push, human sovereignty. You must be in control of your own self because someone else will take over if they can't.
What seems to be, do you feel the mantis overall objective? Well,
I've asked
and
that.
keeping in mind that there's probably more than one faction of them, but at
Oh
least
yeah,
there
there's
was
many
a.
factions. Yeah. So as I explained before, the green mantises, which was ones I primarily dealt with in the first place, they're largely spiritual beings. They're concerned more about, evolving humanity. They're also fantastic geneticists. So, but as smart as they are and as much as a peaceful one, they can also be politicians. I want to be very clear on that one. They can work a lot of people around to get what they want. They're very good at that. In general, most ETs are telepathic or have some degree of telepathy. So for them, certain things don't register, like privacy or boundary doesn't think like our whole planet is built on, like everyone can read anyone's thoughts at any time. So why would you lie? Like some species don't have that concept. And I understand that, but when you go into someone's head who isn't used to that, that's a violation.
Yes.
And you have to push back. And sometimes they're like, oh, I didn't know that. I mean, I'm not talking about just the mantises, but you'll get beings that will come up once in a while, just try and walk by and go and do a quick little through your head, see what's going on. Then when you smack them back and they're getting insulted and they're like, well, I was just and like, you know what you were doing. You got caught doing it. Don't do it again. You're going to get hurt. And that's how you have to be. I mean, as much as I would love to be like all love, light, and we're all in this together, we are, but you still must restrict, maintain your sovereignty and your boundaries. It's up to you to do it as the individual. Even if you can't like put up the greatest fight ever, if you don't put up something of a fight, you won't be respected.
And especially where the Draco is concerned, they can despise you, they can hate your guts, but if you fight back and hold your own, I wouldn't say there's a grudging admiration or respect, but they regard you differently, right? And a key point you made also about your World War I and World War II lives, I've always used the term quick turnarounds, where some of us live, fought, died during World War II, and then we quickly came back. And like you said, the powers that be, on if there are really two sides of the equation, positive, negative polarities, both sides, if you will, and all points in between, they seem to know when we're coming back into earthly plane. Now, here comes David, he'll be David this time, or here comes Bartley, he'll be Bartley this time, right? But they know us when they look at us sometimes. Yes, we're in our human form, but a lot of times they regard us, some ETs, to when they remembered us in our ET incarnations, right? So they kind of see us as the sum of all of our parts. And like in World War II, for example, I actually was two people at once. I was a naval commander, a U.S. naval commander in the South Pacific. I was what we would call an air boss nowadays, what they used to call a CAG, carrier air group commander. And we were sending, I was sending the planes off because the carrier was stricken, it was going down, right? So we had to get the planes off and send them somewhere else. And then simultaneous to that, I had a life in the German SS, right? It's, which is why I've always had this fascination, with the Third Reich. I'm something of a Germanophile, actually. I really respect and
You always
admire
were. You
Europeans.
always were.
Yeah. So anyway, please continue.
Yeah. So, like I said, because the fact that you were both U.S. and German is why you were picked for the SSP.
Yeah, I think that, and just a quick point, there may be some relation, because even the term Solar Warden, and a lot of us found out about that term from Gary McKinnon, and doubtless from people that have been on the project, but it's reminiscent, actually, of how they chose the term Solar Warden in the Vietnam War in the Mekong Delta. And my dad served two tours of the Brown Water Navy. He was part of a project called Game Warden. And Game Warden was using the Brown Water Navy and also at times the elements of the 9th Army Division to police and secure and defend all the different waterways, canals, and streams of the vast Mekong Delta. The project was called Game Warden. And then I couldn't help but thinking, well, since Solar Warden seems to be a naval operation at some level, maybe some bright wag in the system thought, well, this is kind of similar to, defending and policing and protecting the Mekong Delta in World War II. Let's call it Solar Warden. That's just the way my mind was working.
From my experience dealing with Solar Warden and the ones that are talking to, the ones I've asked about it, they've literally told me when I was talking to them, they said, "This is you're not the only one who gets a redemption arc. Look around." And I looked around, and a lot of the people were ex-Nachtwaffen, ex-Kruger, and these are the ones that are trying to make it right. There's still, a lot of the issues that they have from being programmed and trained and doing horrible stuff for a while, but they're trying to do better. And a couple of times they're like, if you'd come back, we're actually facing a leadership problem. Like a lot of the guys are getting to a point where they're ready to rebel because they're not getting what they want. And I'm like, so who put you in charge? And they were like, the guy goes, "You did, you asshole." And I go, "Why did I put you in charge? I go, weren't there people more qualified than you?" And he goes, "Of course there were. You thought it would be funny to piss off the people who you didn't like anymore." And I went, "You know what? That sounds like me."
You were
And
talking to a military guy that was telling you this, or at any rate a human in the program?
He was like trying to get a lot of the times they've tried to get me back. And I keep telling them, "No, I have my I'm doing down here on Earth. I'm here for the healing. I'm not doing that stuff anymore." I mean, I will be honest, there are times I do miss it. That, when you have that much power and you're able to command that much stuff and be there and, get stuff done and be an amazing badass, yeah, it's really hard not to have that power anymore. Like, I literally had the power to, if I wanted to, I could take a planet. I could take a ship. I mean, all I had to do was say, "Give me that ship, give me that planet," and I had people that would do that. Now I have to, don't have that anymore. And I have to do the dishes. I have to take out the garbage.
Yes,
It's
the contrast, because a lot of us, it seems, and I don't say this out of any sense of elitism, far from it, but it seems that at least some of us in these on-world and off-world programs, in a certain state of being and consciousness, we seem to have command authority. Like
yeah.
the Stargate, one of the Stargate rooms at any rate on Mars, I've been told by more than one person, I stand there and I kind of oversee the operation, kind of like a watch officer. And
Yeah.
then and other people, they seem to have these command authority positions in the off-world scheme of things.
I was told by several ETs and other ones that, yeah, I have been in a lot of the programs, and I've been officers. Now, I want to be clear. I have also been on the very, very bottom rung of the society. I remember
Me
having
too.
my alt meeting. I remember being creating altars and having them work in brothels. I remember being a girl many times, and I remember literally getting my eyes and limbs cut off for their entertainment and ripped apart on a daily basis. Like, they thought that was really funny to keep me like that. So you can be like this amazing person and have this truly almost godlike power, and then you can be literally the bottom of the bottom of the rung of society. And one of the things that the organization will do is that once you've reached a certain level, they put you back, and they put you back in a very broken body slash life that most people will spend their entire life trying to struggle with things that they shouldn't have to do with, ranging from addiction, physical ailments, family problems, being unable to form any kind of relationships. This was all done on purpose. I mean, they don't
Yes,
want people.
because it seems at times that we're thwarted from having the basic necessities of life, like love, companionship, a sense of well-being. They keep us in our normal earthly mode,
Prison.
just eking out a subsistence existence at times, right?
Right,
Living in
because they
these
don't want
shitty.
us to remember how awesome we actually are.
Yes, and then
Like,
also
what?
I've been at the other end of the spectrum where. I mean, I'm literally lying in a heap, right, on the floor, all drugged out, while there's a conference of Navy people sitting there, at a conference table, and this is lasting for hours. I'm just laying there like a pile of mattresses or a pile of clothes, right? And they're not even paying attention to me, right? It was just such a humiliating, humbling, and I start to come to again. I'm still here. They're still having a conference, Like just totally treated like scum, basically. So yeah, that can humble you big time.
Yeah, and again, that is done on purpose. like, and people like will have all these problems throughout their whole lives. It's like, why can't I just form a decent communication? Why do I keep getting to these addictions? Why is my family so against me? Like, these people are supposed, and people don't realize that that was done to keep you in that situation. You can get better. I want to be clear on that one. I did get better. A couple other people got better. It is very hard work, and you're gonna have to let go of some people in your life. That's gonna be a really hard thing. And that's just how it is. Some people just are not going to come out of the programming. They're in too deep, and they don't even know it. And that's a tragedy.
It's because a
But
lot of them wind up with these hardcore addictions and other issues, and the loony bins—I hate to call them that—the mental asylums are full of people like us, basically.
And unfortunately, the psychiatric hospitals are also a recruiting ground, an experimenting ground for these kind of beings. Recently, like I said, as a child, I had uncontrollable fits of rage most of my life. So naturally, they locked me up. And I would tell every once in a while, there's a tall person walking around, or did you see that? And then they would always just, oh, up his meds or whatever it was. But as I started getting older, and I got away from that. Every once in a while, I would just astral travel back there and see what they were doing. And recently, I astral traveled back again. And they were like, stop coming here. You're causing too much problems. We have to divert too many resources to deal with you. We can't do our work. And I says, what is your work? And they said, research. And I said, research on what? Abilities on life and all the other stuff. And they said, you were very good for experimentation. You could see very well, and your telepathy was very good. And that got me kind of pissed off. So I said, it's true. You did do good work. I'm going to acknowledge that you produced amazing results, but you're not going to hurt these children anymore. So last night I went to where they were and I basically just burned them all. And one of the things I found out I can do was psychic fire. And I just torched the entire place. And I remember literally unhooking kids from tables. And they were like, why are you doing this? I go, you've learned so much, but you did not learn empathy or consent or violations. And so from that point, we're done with you. And it was just burning them all was kind of like the best thing I could have ever done.
Yes, and I don't want to sound overly militant, but I very much likewise have a scorched earth, scorched mentality, not just earth mentality. But some of these perps, all they know is force and coercion and control, and live by the sword, die by the sword is my mentality. If they're going to continue to do this, and by this point in time, there has to be a better way, right? Other than traumatizing all these countless
See
generations of
that's my
children.
point exactly. Like you've been doing this for thousands of years and you can't
Yes.
find a better way.
In the time we got left in the first segment, tell us how you were inducted in the program. We know a lot of this stuff happens. It's a carryover from previous incarnations. They know who we are coming into the earthly plane. Oh, here David again, right? He's going to cause us a
Yeah,
headache.
well,
But I
apparently, when you people, when so from what I've all the ETs, positive ones that I've talked to, they've all said that Earth is a school for souls. That is a key one that they said. They mentioned that over and over again. And not every soul is allowed to be on Earth just because they won't be able to survive. Only certain souls are have to be pre-approved. So once you're pre-approved, you enter basically a matrix. And unfortunately, the entities got a hold of who goes in that matrix now? So they can basically come get you as soon as you're in the womb.
absolutely. Now, very briefly, I forgot to ask, what's your ethnic genetic heritage? Because we know
Irish and
the
Russian.
DNA plays such a big role in this. So what is it again?
Irish and Russian.
Okay, well, there you go. Yeah, two very key ethnicities. And when did the induction process begin? Because you unpack a lot of this down the road as an adult, but tying it in with what memories you do have from childhood, how are you brought into the off-world programs?
As far as I know, they came and took me. The first memory I have is when I said they took me when I was a baby. So they were training me from that. I know, I remember being in Montauk for a little bit. I've had people that I've met from Montauk that go, oh my God, that was you. I'm so sorry for what we did to you. And like, yeah, thank you for apologizing. At least we know it wasn't you, because I want to be very clear on this. Even though that it may look like us, it may be part of our souls. What was literally done is they fracture a part of your soul to the point of absolute torture. Then they torture that person into a monster, and they put that monster in a different body. Now they can de-age that body, or they can re-age that body. So
Well, yeah,
that.
I've told close friends of mine in these programs and said, look, if I ever came to consciousness and you're torturing the hell out of me, I'm not going to take it personally, because that consciousness that's torturing me through the medium of your body isn't the you that I know, right? So, I
Right.
mean, I don't take it personally.
And it's like I tried to explain, because even though that person that essentially looks like you and is a core part of you, that being will have its own likes and dislikes and form its own life. Even though it still has a programming going back on its head, because it's not just behavior programming, it's chemical programming, it's military, it's contract, they have contract ways of making sure that behavior is increased. They have people who specialize to see if anyone's coming out of the programming. So they're looking around, monitoring everybody, and then they inform that. Yeah, it gets pretty messed up. Do you need to take a break or
Oh,
anything,
no,
or?
I'm just want to go back to the induction process. As a child, what kind of training do they put you through to prepare you for your role in these off-world programs?
Well, so the memories I have is I remember being at malls at night and doing combat
Yes, a
exercises.
lot of training goes on at malls or places simulated to look like malls at night. Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, I remember that. I remember one time there were a bunch of other kids around me. We showed up in a van at night, and there were two men, and we went inside the thing. We were happy to be in the mall at night because we thought it was cool. And at this time, I want to say I was probably around 5 or 6, maybe. This is when I started having this. And the guy tells everyone, okay, and he takes out a box, or no, it was a bag, and he unravels the bag. And unravels the bag was a couple guns and a couple knives. And I think we had like 12, 14 kids. And he goes, we'll be back in 5 hours. Only 8 of you can come back. And
So they pitted
so,
you against each other in essentially gladiatorial type combat.
yes. And
Okay.
I remember one of the things was there was a new kid, and I remember I had lost a couple. They said I was surprisingly good at it because I had the natural berserk instincts. So I
Natural what? A
remember
natural what?
berserk instincts.
Oh, yes. The berserker kind of
I
thing.
would just go in a different thing. Like, I would get stronger than I should have been. I wouldn't feel anything. And I would just go. I remember the mall at the time was a two-story mall. And they had the elevator, and they had this display next to the elevator. Now, I always remember standing on top of the display, looking down at the kids, and then I remember jumping on him with a knife. So I remember doing that. And I remember a couple of weeks later, I got the memory back. I was with my mom. We were just, she had to do some stuff in the store, so she told me to wait outside. I didn't want to go in. It was one of those, like, I think it was the candle store or whatever it was, something like that. It smelled bad. And I'm just sitting there minding my own business, and I see these two security guards walking, and this one security guard starts freaking out. He's like, holy shit, holy shit. It's him, it's him, it's him, it's him. And the guy goes, shut the fuck up right now.
Oh,
And he's,
just to clarify, these are not mall security types. These are security officers within the context of this program.
no, they were mall security.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, and he's freaking out, and I can tell right away that something's wrong, that he knows me. I had never seen this guy before. And apparently he had either seen something that had happened, because he saw me, and as soon as I remember I had an itch on my back for some reason, and I just reached behind it, and he freaked out and thought I was going to reach for something. Now, this was back in the early 90s, so now, but and his partner literally just grabs him and walks away. And I heard him going, that was him. I saw him. I saw what he did. How is he out? And I like, they shot him. I remember watching him get shot. So
Oh,
apparently they re
yeah.
yeah, he
So,
was.
presumably, if taken to face value, you were in one of these gladiatorial contests, and then you or your clone or whatever was slain or mangled in some way. Either they repaired you very quickly, or they that was in the clone body. They put you back in your regular body.
The memory I have of being shot was that I had done my mission and they'd come to retrieve us, but they couldn't control me, and I saw them and went and attacked them, and they defended themselves. That's why I remember getting shot. But I also remember them going, "Yeah, this one's really good. We're going to use him. We're not going to waste him." So I also, like I said, remember parts of, being in Montauk programming. I remember some of the rooms. I did do a couple of time travels. I don't like time travels. I always had a problem with it. Some people were better at it than others, but I didn't go in the chair. I went into the room. There was you go through step through a room and you're in a different place. That's the one I remember going through. I also remember at this point I was being aged up in one of the bodies because apparently they took me for a while, a lot of times. See, you'll hear people say, "Oh, I did 20 and back." Here's the thing. If they're going to take the time to do a 20 and back on you, chances are you're not getting one. You're getting as many as they can get out of you before they use you up. They're not going to spend the resources on developing your skills just for that, just to have it back. They'll take you as many times as they can get away with it. And then you'll have different agencies trying to take you and figure out what they did. So you have the space agencies coming to take you. Then you have the military agencies trying to figure out what's going on. Then you have the ETs trying to figure out what's going on. So it's a whole thing that needs to stop. Apparently, I recently found out that this was allowed as some form of treaty. It's like because when they made the treaty, like in the 50s or something like that, they didn't understand what it meant. I'm referring to, I think, the treaty with Eisenhower made. So I'm
Because
not
there
sure.
does seem to be a lot of sheep dipping. Like if there's some, in our example, some black ops, a mind control agency out there or operation, and they find out through monitoring the internet that, oh, look, this person's talking about some of his experiences. He went through this kind of mind control and these kinds of ops. Why don't we start accessing this guy and use him in our project and see what we can get
Yeah,
out of him? So there's a lot of
it's
that
simply
that goes
like
on too.
it's simply the equivalent. Well, if he's so valuable to them, he should be valuable to us.
Yes.
And when I first started talking about this stuff to people, I would get attacked physically. I meant one of their favorite things to do was use the Wi-Fi router. They would up it so much that it would cause pain. And I've literally had two or three Wi-Fi routers burnt out since I moved here. And it was funny because the guy that came over to repair them is like, "Dude, what are you doing? The amount of energy that this Wi-Fi is putting out is not supposed to do that." He goes, "My readings are literally going off the chart on this one." I go, "So what do I do?" He goes, "I'm going to make a note of it, but if it happens again, call us. Just, or whatever you're doing, stop." But then when I realized what I could simply do was just unplug it, and that kind of just annoyed them. It's literally that easy.
Also, you
And
could
another
use it, what's known as a geo cleanse harmonizer. It's a plug-in orgone device, which I'm using right now, and it just shuts down all this electromagnetic smog, just instantly.
Yeah, and another thing they would do is when I first started talking to people, like every time I tried to contact someone, see what had happened was I didn't have any memories. Like I didn't know when he put everything together. So 2 years ago, I moved to Pennsylvania from Long Island. I was talking to my friend. I met him on a meetup. We were talking about ETs and stuff. He and another friend mentioned the word Waffen. And I said, "No, there's something else in front of that word. There's an N sounding word." And I said, "Knock Waffen." And as soon as I said "Knock Waffen," I got some of the memories back and I knew what it was. And I was like, "Oh." And they're like, "Yeah, you were in the space program. A friend and I had the missing time, the memories recalls. I remember, parts of being in other timelines, other dimensions, other lives." And each time I would just come more and more and more. And I found out that, I've never had a full regression. So when people were very surprised to hear that, I just have remember key points in my life to know that I enough that I was there, and I have very good recall of people that I d met in the program, like yourself and a bunch of others. Like that's where I really am in. But I never really had a regression. It was just more of like key memories were shown to me, and then they said that because it was just. They said it multiple times. He goes, "Look, you were an officer in a lot of these things, so you're being afforded a lot of afforded a lot more room than a lot of other people would be. We also
A lot more
understand that,
latitude, a lot more latitude.
Yeah, and they told me multiple times for the Mantis because when I was learning about all this SSP stuff, I'm like, put me in there, let me go. I want to fight. I want to be there. Let me be the fighter. And they would always go, no, David, you are not here for the fighting. You were here for the healing, and that comes after the fighting. And I'm like, come on, send me in. And they're looking at me going, okay, David, right now, if we send you in, what could you do? You don't have the control or anything to be an actual against any of these psychic soldiers or anything like that. I'm like, all right. And he goes, your knees are messed up. I'm like, well, you're just being mean. And I go, David, we care about you. We understand how big this is. And I'm like, I'm starting to understand how much the healing is needed. Because they explained to me that there's not going to be a big giant battle. There's not going to be good versus evil. What's going to happen is basically they showed me a dimension going up, and then they just basically showed me a balloon letting out the air. That's what they showed me how it's going to end. So apparently there's going to be some type of dimensional split coming, and basically people who can work in that dimension and not try and kill each other and stuff like that are going to have a really good time, and the ones who can't are just going to stay on Earth until they're able to either finish this life and then reincarnate into another life so they can process what happened and let go. And it's going to basically be a two-dimensional Earth, not like a two-dimensional like flat. Like they explained that the dimension will rise up, and the people that are in the lower dimension will see us as more of like phantoms or something like that. Like as of right now, Earth has many dimensions in it. There are many interdimensional beings on different levels. They just vibrate at a different frequency. Some of them are truly waiting for us to greet us with happiness and share, but we still have to do the work. They're not going to be like, okay, here's everything you need. They'll be like, no, we can help you. You still have a lot to do, but it's a process. And so, because I was surprised to learn like how much Earth is full. It's not really, we're not the only ones on here.
Yes.
Because like, and a couple of times, I would still get really prone to angry for rage, especially when I'm remembering all the horrible things that was done and everything like that. And I'm like, fuck it, let's just blow up this damn planet, flush the toilet and start cleaning. And I would get a couple of beings going, please don't destroy the planet. There are other people using it. And I'm like, oh, hi. I'm like, hi, there are other people using the planet. Please just try not to do that. I'm like, okay, that makes sense.
Because at times one can get this almost dismissive, flippant attitude. Nuke this rock and get off it. It's like
Yeah, just
a
like flush the
lost
toilet, start
cause,
over.
start over. But then again, and I think that that's why we have natural allies with some of the Sasquatch tribes, because even though some of them have interdimensional capability and can, exit stage left when they're doing the forest, with directed energy weapons, right? They can't be happy about what's going on. But because that's their habitat too, and then you have all the wildlife that's getting scorched. So,
Then you
we
have
have
the
natural
people,
allies in that regard.
then you have the inner earth beings,
Inner Earth
then you have
beings,
the forest folks, then you have the fae, then you
exactly.
have there's just like so much stuff, beings on life on Earth itself. And once I realized that, I'm like, oh, we should probably take better care of the planet then, because this seems like a
Yes.
big deal. And I also found out Earth, because of all the multi-dimensional stuff, is actually on a multi-dimensional fault line. So what happens here on Earth,
It's a good way to describe it.
it reverberates throughout the universe. So if Earth goes good, the universe goes good. If Earth goes bad, everything goes bad. And
Yes.
I think that's part of the reason why we have so much control, so many dark entities on this planet trying for control. Because like you can't control everything over there, but if you can control the center point that broadcasts it out and amplifies it, it makes it a lot easier.
Can draw a parallel with these on the surface geopolitical conflict level. With these strategic choke points, right? The Suez Canal, North and South Korea, these permanent flashpoints where, conflict can just suddenly erupt. And I see that with planet Earth. It's like a cork in a bottle holding back something. You know what I mean? So anyway, we reached the end of a fascinating first segment with our guest, David Purcell. David, would you like to share your information, contact information with our audience?
So right now you can get a hold of me on Facebook under David Purcell. You can get me on Instagram on Cactus Smile 39. In the next month or so, I should have my YouTube channel up, which will basically be me talking about my adventures and learning a bunch of other stuff. So look for that in the next month until YouTube decides it doesn't like me anymore.
I'm somewhat asthmatic, because I'm fighting off another infection. So when I laugh, sometimes I cough. But yeah, you'll have options. You have Rumble and Odyssey, so like a fallback platform. Yeah. So cool. I'm glad you're getting that off the ground. And for our dear listeners out there, if you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up, become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next segment.